Welcome to Nostalgia Pilots, a podcast capable of loving all people. I'm your host, Hugh.
And I'm Jared.
And today we are talking about Gundam Wing, episode 22, The Fight for Independence. And let's be honest, this is really neither.
Yeah, not a single Randy Quaid in sight.
And we also don't see three out of five Gundam pilots this episode.
Okay, not to launch into teaser territory, but the one we do see right at the end, I was actually wondering before this episode started, is Wufei dead? And then this episode did provide a very definitive answer to that question.
You get that a lot in Gundam Wing, actually. It wanders off all the damn time.
Well, I was pleased to see we open immediately with Cool Ranch Lady Un.
Yeah, so we do have Cool Ranch Lady Un meeting Zex as he gets out of his giant war machine as the peace ambassador.
Yeah, I found that hilarious. It seemed like he was like quasi undercover, but his shuttle had the tall geese just strapped to it. So I don't know how covert an operation that is, because he arrives and they have a little discussion, and then there's, what's that fellow's name again? The sniveling...
Nicole?
Yeah, Nicole. He's like, Miliardo my butt, that's Zex Marquis.
Yeah, okay, there's a whole sequence where, like, Lady Un and Zex have met before, and Lady Un hates Zex, but they just, like, both pretend that they're different people.
Well, we do get an explicit statement from Trace later in the episode saying that Un has split personalities.
We have an explicit statement from him that sort of like weaves around that like his own responsibility in this.
Yeah.
Like he didn't like, yeah, I fucked with her brain somehow. It's fine. It's like she somehow developed multiple personalities. Like we saw that like weird thing you posted on the screen when she was in the robot. You did something to her.
She just loves me so much. It split her personality in two so she could love me twice as much. But, okay, listen, we need to address the fact that Miliardo / Zex arrives. So he is maskless, but he is in a white tux the entire time.
Yes, this whole episode he is wearing this, like, flawless Super Mario Odyssey-ass white tuxedo.
I felt a little bit like he had just stepped off the love boat, I do have to confess.
The love mech.
Yeah, cruising around in tall geese, serving up chilled drinks, fighting guys.
Yep. But anyway, because he's a peacecraft.
Because he's a peacecraft, although he does wear two masks. I do feel like we get a lot of display, actually, in the costuming in this episode. There's just a variety of uniforms. Mm-hmm. And I realized cosplaying the show, probably actually not that hard. Like, you just need to get a hold of a period uniform and then add a sash, because that's basically the rules for being in Oz, or the Alliance.
Yes, you know. So we do cut to the Alliance Military College colony that no one has mentioned before.
Run by a guy who's distinctly not Winston Churchill.
Oh, no, it's run by... General Septim's dad and General Septim's son. Like you it's the General Septim backstory no one was clamoring for.
Yeah, absolutely. And the show is so strange in the way it uses its characters, because like we haven't seen Hero in a... Did we see him last episode? I can't remember now, but we've been seeing him very minimally. We haven't seen Relena in forever, but we get this huge heap and pile of here's the Septims gang. And
although no one does mention that, you know, the Lady Un herself pushed him out of a plane, then shot him. which
actually, there was a callback to that later in this episode.
Yes. It was like, No, she literally shot your father while she was killing him a different way.
Yes, but listen, it wasn't really her because she's Cool Ranch this entire episode. She's talking to Trace and she sounds like a voice of reason somehow.
Okay, I would not call that reason, I call it the voice of Fangirl.
Yeah, okay, I suppose.
Just like, you need to rule the world because you're awesome and your heart is so capable of love and peace and beauty and... what was I saying?
But he won't... Okay, so I have to admit, there was a fair amount of politicking in this episode. Like, for example, okay, there's an extended scene at the college. I didn't quite get what they were driving at in their debate, except for, in the end, Grampy Septim or whatever is like, but Zex Marquis is in space, and everyone's like, oh, dog, Zex Marquis is in space. And I was like, I don't know that that would really be that big a piece of news to them. Or the how did he also like that whole intro scene sets it up so strangely, because when Un is totally ignoring the fact that Miliardo has landed with his, you know, distinctly obvious mech strapped to the back of his plane, and then we cut out to Nicole or whatever 1,000 feet off being like, hey, that's Clark Kent, I know who that is. And then we go over to the college. So at this point, the inner circle, they have no, like, I feel like Oz sucks at having any sort of identification, because the other guy who's wandering around everywhere in this episode is Troa.
Yes.
No one has any sort of, like, lockdown. You know, man, this guy's resume, like, he was on a circus, and then he was in space. Maybe we want to look into this man. But no. And then somehow Grampy Septim's like, and I hear Zex is in town. So literally everybody knows, like, except for...
Everyone knows exactly what they need to know for the plot to work. But if you look at it too closely, it's like, why do you know that? Or why do you not know that? And both answers are not satisfying.
Yeah. Yeah. Although the space fights, top notch this episode.
So it's all pretext in order to have space fights.
And a discussion about space weather.
Yes.
And how you have to be tough to live in space, I guess, is what they were trying to drive at. I don't know. Like,
space is uncertainty because anything can go wrong. Like I feel like this was like edging towards the Expanse for a minute. And then they're just sort of like, but giant robots.
So yes.
Giant robots.
Please help me untangle the actual excuse for the giant robots, because as much as I enjoyed the sequence, someone is attacking the space college.
Okay, so Barge is attacking the space college because it's the Alliance Space College. Oz is like just betraying all their Alliance guys in order to like have a control of space. And then they're going to get the colonies to make space weapons for them in space, because all the best weapons need to be made in space, which is why the Gundams are awesome and Leo suck. For whatever reason.
Space weather.
Yes. Zero gravity, I guess.
So, okay, that explains at least that much. So it's a back stab on the part of Oz.
Yes. So Oz is going to control all of space, and then they'll be able to control all of Earth, because basically they'll just be able to just drop shit on Earth.
So Zex the pacifist declares that he switches between his two masks, which, you know, was kind of a little like, what's the point of being a pacifist if you're just going to pretend to like be cool with murdering people when it's time to just murder people? But I guess it's kind of them revealing the crux of the show. Like, all of the characters sort of are supposed to have these two sides. Mm-hmm. I guess what they're trying to do with Hero is to say, like, oh, he's, you know, rough on the exterior and soft on the interior. But really, it's just, like, wrenches all the way around. So, I don't know.
But he can't kill her.
So fair.
Learning.
So Zex the pacifist. Miliardo goes home. Zex comes back out, I guess. And
well, his claim is that he's like operating as a dual identity, but you know, you came out of the giant robot in the white tuxedo. People know that there is like literally six giant robots. Like this,
and this
is
one is
not
considerably taller.
Yeah, this is not the subterfuge that this makes it out to be.
Yeah, yeah.
And meanwhile, Weasley guy who didn't get the promotion he wants is talking to the freaking head of the Romerfeller Foundation behind Lady Un's back. Like, he is backstabbing her.
Yeah, well, okay. So, again, the implication from the discussion with Trays is that things are getting rougher with the Romerfellers. Their relationship is falling apart a little bit.
Well, yes, because basically they're sort of like, because Oz's whole identity is that they're soldiers who pilot these giant robots, and they sort of like refine themselves through the fires of war. And, you know, it makes them better people, because right. PTSD help improves your decision-making process somehow. And Dermale's just like, well, once we have manufacturing up and running, why don't we just make everything robots, and then we'll just rule the world forever.
Yeah, okay. And, so we have sort of this
philosophy.
We have sort of this strange European aristocracy mindset from Trays and his faction, mm-hmm. Oz. We have this weird 1930s capitalist foundation going on. Like, I always get this weird vibe from the Romerfellers. They're supposed to be the Rockefellers, essentially, right? And
well, yeah, they're also supposed to be the old world European aristocrats, but yes.
Okay, okay. But they're more the industrialist class, you might say.
Yes. Okay. So they're the industrialist coming in and mechanizing warfare when warfare should all be one-on-one duels and honor and sword fights, but just scaled up with lasers.
Gotcha. Okay, well, that makes a little more sense. So they're coming at the Space College, backstabbing the Alliance because they want total control. But yeah. Oz, you know, they just like to fight everybody, I suppose.
Right. And Zex is sort of moving away because he was Trace's friend, but he's making his play to keep his country separate so that he can, like, give Relina a throne, because this is a good idea.
Yeah. I did like their little discussion. It almost, like, Zex is almost like, oh, you might not recognize me without my mask. He's like, no, it's my old friend Miliardo. What are you talking about?
No, it's just, my dear friend Miliardo. Like, the Japanese audio is, like, laying it on very thick.
Yeah.
It feels actually kind of shippy.
Well, it kind of makes sense because, you know, Un's throwing herself at him all the time, and he's just kind of like, yeah. Let's go duel. Let's saber fight.
Yeah, and meanwhile, confused Cool Ranch Lady Un is sort of heartbroken because Trays doesn't really want to take control of humanity yet. Like, she wants him to.
She's very disappointed in him.
Yes, so Nicole is like, well, if you went out and fought for him, you know, you could prove your love to him, and then he'd do what you want. And for whatever reason, she buys this, but she doesn't turn back into Zesty Nacho Lady Un. She just kind of gets into a Taurus.
Yeah, she goes out as Cool Ranch, which I thought was interesting. I mean, she doesn't stay that way the entire episode.
No, but she doesn't do so well as Cool Ranch.
Yeah, she just kind of flies in and be... That was the other part of my confusion about what was going on. So Zex is going out to, what, Defend Space College, or...
He's going to Defend Space College.
Okay.
Like, so that Oz doesn't have a 100% control of space. But okay. They're all out there fighting, like, a losing battle. Like, everyone goes into this thinking, I'm going to die for peace now.
Yeah, well, actually, that's one of my favorite sequences in this episode, when the Septims are... Yeah, the Septims are hanging out together. They realize death is imminent, and the younger Septim is like, I'm sorry, Grandpa, that I got you into this. And the Grandpa says, those are my thoughts exactly, which I think he meant, like, they kind of followed up with an extra comment, right. But it seems like he's like, yeah, I'm sorry you got me into this, too.
Well, he means, I'm sorry that you have to die because you're so young. But yeah, it's sort of like, yeah.
Yeah, thanks for that. Glad we trusted you with space. Anyway, there was...
you and your chin for space.
Yeah, there was a lot of like dialogue while facing away from the camera towards the screen.
Yes.
Or camera, like, or a video screen, but it was basically just a little flashing like light bar while they're talking, and that's supposed to be, you know, their Skype call essentially. I think they saved, well, I mean, in a lot of ways, they're probably looking for different techniques to save a little extra budget on the animation. And I do find that less egregious, actually, than reusing combat footage, which has happened a few times in previous sequences. And I've noticed less, and maybe it's just that there's been a little bit longer gaps between some of these episodes, but noticed less in the space battles. And I don't know if it's because the battles are pretty specific to incidents and they can't reuse the same footage or what, but...
I think this is sort of, we're sort of like reaching the end of the first season, so they're stepping it up a little bit.
Mm. Yeah, but it does feel far and away from the high school business where we started this this run.
Okay, and we do have a short scene where Troa actually shows up, and Troa asks that guy, "What the hell are you doing?" And he doesn't really have a great answer. His answer is like, shut up.
Yeah, shut up and get out of here.
Yeah, soldiers aren't supposed to think, they're supposed to fight. And Troa's response is, oh, am I fighting? And he's like, also no. Go away.
So Troa decides that this is what Lady Un would want, and he beats everybody up.
Yes.
Knocks them unconscious, but he's so Troa that he can't stop being holier than thou and lecturing them even when they're all unconscious.
No, he's like, they're all unconscious, and he's like, this is really what we should be doing. Like, this learn is this better wisdom through your grievous injuries. But yeah, so basically this guy sent Lady Un out, but since she's in her personality that's not a soldier, she doesn't quite know what she's doing, and he's gonna fire like the spaceship's big laser, like with her still in the way.
Yes, which I didn't really understand the strategy behind that, except for that it seems like he just wants to be rid of Lady Un.
Yeah, he's gonna kill Lady Un and like usurp her position with the backing of the Duke.
Fortunately, Lady Un is saved by going full zesty. I do wish there was a little bit of a Super Saiyan, sequence going on, but
basically what happens is, Trace calls Miliardo, because apparently he didn't change his phone number when he changed identities, and he swoops in and rescues Lady Un while Troa like stops the engines so that the laser misses.
Oh yes. And then Un arrives home and she's totally like, her absolute anger has
manifested glasses on her.
Yeah,
face.
Just manifested glasses, which is fantastic. She's a full Lady Un voice. Like, I don't know what the, anyway.
Yes.
And she pulls a pistol.
Yes.
And there's this moment when I'm thinking, shoot him at the airlock, and then shoot him with the pistol.
Yeah, I thought she was going to shoot him too, but she's just sort of like, what you did was technically correct, and what I'm doing is also technically correct. And then she just kind of has him taken away. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, it did. It did feel like a step down for Lady Un. Like, she hadn't maybe reached full zesty, but...
Well, I think that part of the idea is that she like found a nacho medium. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens in future episodes, I suppose. We get some more visuals of... Okay, so yeah, you know what? Actually, this is where I was going earlier with this other comment. So we've got the Rumafellers. We've got, you know, the industrialists, fine. They kind of dress... I understand now that, you know, even in that period, they would have sort of that top hat-y kind of apparel. And then we have the sort of, World War One era Oz uniform situation. And then we have the Tudor. Like, I don't know where this guy, Cardinal Woolsey, I don't know where this guy shows up from. Why is this Tudor man wandering around being so bitter?
Well, I think he wanted them all to dress Renaissance, and they were like, nope, we're going to Napoleonic. And he's like, well, fine, I'm dressing to Renaissance anyway. Kiss my rough.
Like, did they just, were they like, well, you know what, we're kind of running out of Europe, let's go back a little further.
I don't know, but but he's got like a much more Renaissance era outfit for whatever reason. And he cares like even less about people and more about robots.
But, well, actually, that's not... well, yeah, actually, I suppose Wu Fei actually ends up using that against him because we finally get the reappearance of Wu Fei, except he's, I guess, just fought to an absolute standstill because he's got no fuel left.
Yes, and then he decides... No, when he like blasted off using the last of his fuel last time we saw him, he did not refuel. He just sort of like floated around for a while, apparently.
3 or 4 episodes.
Yes. And now he's like, well, I'm out of all of energy, but I'm gonna do something to stop you, dude who's flying to the moon.
Yeah, he's essentially like, hey, check out my sweet robot. And I'm just not sure if it's going to suddenly transition into, oh, I guess I do have a little more gas than I thought.
Well, I had assumed he was gonna, like, try and self-detonate. Or he, like, thinks about it, and then he's like, no, I'll let myself be captured. I'll let myself be captured, because this is totally a plan that I have, and not me just running out of fuel.
Not being weak like a woman.
Oh my god.
Yeah, sorry, I had to remind you who Wu Fei really is. Oh, Wu Fei.
Wu Fei has spent all of his energy like hanging out on the worst subreddits. That's why his robot's not moving anymore.
It's not just about space fighting, it's about ethics. Anyway, yes.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, so he gets captured and he has a plan, but that is the end of the episode in which we like literally did not see anybody else.
Yeah, we got like 20 seconds of Troa being Troa and a little bit of Wu Fei being Wu Fei, and that was...
But mostly it was all Oz being scheming against each other for reasons.
Which is kind of fun, though. Like, yeah. I do find heroes best taken in sort of spaced out doses sometimes.
Yeah. Hero can't blow up everything all the time.
Exactly.
Like, you've got to set up all those little dominoes so they can just be like, click, and all of them explode at once.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Like I was saying earlier, we're so far in my mind from the sort of high school romance-y kind of drama where we began.
Well, it will circle back around, and it will circle back around in the best way.
Yeah, okay, I'm looking forward to it. Although I am enjoying space politics and space weather.
So we're going to have space politics and space weather and space uncertainty that they need space guns for. So
we didn't even see the two new mobile suits this episode.
Yeah, Tro is pretty much like, so should we go out in our awesome mobile suits and like kill all those guys? And he's like, no.
Yeah. You know, I think maybe they had to keep Hero out of this episode because he would have been like, if he got wind of what was going on, wind even that there was a fight, he just would have like left. So they're like, no.
Oh, like, there's no way he wouldn't have just been like, oh, there's X. I'm going to go kill him.
Yeah, exactly. So I assume he's just downstairs, like, hacking the internet, doing whatever he does on his spare time.
He's sending up, like, emails out to, like, the families of all the people he killed.
Tying wrenches to things.
So what was your favorite part of the episode?
Okay, so my favorite part of the episode was definitely the unintentional callback to, like, it doesn't actually happen, but in my mind it totally happened, where Nicole, like, she pulls the pistol, she's come in, she's somehow got glasses on, like, who even knows where that came from, and she's, you know, anyway, she's like, I'm totally in my rights, you were in your rights to do that, but I'm in my rights to do this, and she gives him the Dirty Harry speech, and I just totally in my mind saw him, like, funt out the airlock and then just like insult to injury while she's hanging on to the bar and like the wind's still rushing out, she just shoots him.
Yes, that would have been a thing, but my favorite bit has to be from the beginning of the episode, because last episode, like, he showed up, he's in like a spacesuit in the cockpit of his robot, but now when it opens up again and Hero was there, And now when it opens up this time, he's like, just descends in this like glittery white tuxedo. I don't know what he's using in his hair, but that hair does not move.
I have to assume Talgeese is so much larger than the standard Gundams because of closet space. Like that, you know, he needs a little extra. He understands the drama aspect of war.
Like was he like changing while they towed him back? Was he like gonna like reach in the overhead bin and shrug out of this helmet and put the jacket on over it? It's like
I feel like
time to change, but this is fine.
Somewhere there's a series of YouTube videos by Zex that's all about how to make the most of what little space you have in your Gundam and how to make these miraculous changes before touching down.
Well, I just kind of hope that there was a toy for this where, like, you could put, like, the Zex action figure in the cockpit and then it does that thing where you can spin it around and it'll, like, poop out the Leonardo action figure.
You know what? Actually, I think what I was mentioning earlier about the idea that all of the characters have two masks, I think you've got a brilliant toy here. Like, you can do Miliardo, you could do Cool Ranch and Zesty
Lydion.
Yeah, like, I think you've got a seller here. You like, put Wu Fei in toys. And it comes out more Lady Hayden.
Like, you put Wu Fei in, it's just another Wu Fei pops out, but it smells bad. Regular hero and then wrench hero.
Yeah, you got Troa with no name and then Troa telling you names don't matter anyway.
But it's Troa. And then we're ramping up towards the end of the season.
Yeah, is it? Sorry, I haven't thought to check because I live in a digital age. Is it 23 episodes, 24 episodes?
It's, I think it's 25 episodes.
Okay, so.
Like two recap episodes. And then it's like 20 more episodes.
Oh, that's interesting. Just out of curiosity, how do we intend on approaching the recap episodes? Are we talking like Riker clip shows, you know, where he's
having... Yeah, these are like literal clip shows. But there's some interesting stuff in them.
Like a narrator explaining the plot?
Yeah, like there's an explanation of the plot, but then there's like the tease at the end of both of those.
Oh.
That we might... I don't know, we could do this a couple of ways. We could do them as like a live commentary, like just do them back to back.
Oh, that'd be fun. I'm totally in for that.
But that brings us to the end of this episode. You can find all of my stuff at hughjodonnell.com.
And you can find my business over at skinner.fm.
You can follow us on Twitter at nostalgiapilots and leave a comment at nostalgiapilots.com. And leave a comment on iTunes or the podcaster of your choice, because that'll help more people find the show. So until next time, my dear friend, thanks for listening.
Those are my thoughts exactly.
Good night.
Good night.
If you like audiobooks and science fiction, you should be listening to Glow in the Dark Radio for free science fiction audio adventure every week, written and read by author and radio host Mike Luoma. Me! As an up-and-coming independent writer, I share my work for free each week, chapter by chapter, to get you into my science fiction, I hope. Check out all my books at glowinthedarkradio.com and listen to Glow in the Dark Radio free each week on iTunes, TuneIn, or just head to glowinthedarkradio.com.